blessings. I bow before God and thank Him for His blessings. And this has been a major blessing, the trust of the people and the leader. The brilliance of religious popular rule can be seen in this land in the past 40 years, and that was based on the guidelines of the late Imam, and also the perseverance of this great nation. And this was a modern system of ruling presented to the world. In this modern system of ruling, had the issue of religion alongside worldly affairs. It had science alongside morality, justice alongside progress, dignity alongside welfare. This model was presented to the world so that the people would see the bond, a nexus between spirituality and the modern lifestyle, and also to see religion ruling the modern era and administer the affairs of the people, covering various aspects. And that means having independence alongside freedom, to have an Islamic aspect and also the Republic aspect. So this turned into a modern type of ruling system. The statesmen, the officials, and the nation made utmost efforts in the past 40 years in order to realize religious popular rule. During these 40 years, when attention was paid to the guidelines of the late Imam and the leader and the establishment's policies, there was progress made and there was a great deal of promotion. And whenever there was less attention or there was negligence towards these guidelines and also the approved policies of the Islamic establishment, and also the features of the Islamic revolution, that caused problems and shortcomings and also complaints by the people. Speaking of the services rendered in the past 40 years and all those who have contributed to the country's progress, I have to thank them all. And all those who provided services and contributed to such progress, I should respect them all. The 13th presidential elections was a manifestation of religious popular rule. Despite the hostilities by the enemies and also the health circumstances, the coronavirus pandemic, and all the problems that existed, the people had a massive participation, and they created a great epic alongside all the epics that were created based on people's will. And such an epic disappointed the enemies and created hope amongst friends. All the people played a role in such an epic. People from all walks of life participated in such an epic. And people young and old from all the religions and ethnicities, and particularly those who encourage and motivated the people to participate in the elections. The scholarly figures who played the role, led by the leader, and there was this glorious epic created. And of course, I should thank them all. I should also thank all those who organized the elections. And this had a message. The message was a call for a new development, a call for seeking justice, a message for combating poverty, corruption, and discrimination. People's message on the election day was a message for implementing the policies declared by the sacred Islamic establishment, a message for paying attention to the lofty goals and values of the Islamic Revolution, paying attention to these lofty goals, and also safeguarding and protecting the blood of the martyrs and acting based on their will. The message was a message calling for the necessity for eliminating the country's economic and social problems. These were the messages conveyed by people's votes, and they expect this administration to realize the administration of justice and combat corruption and put an end to unhealthy administrative relationships and put an end to rent seeking and also. That was a message conveyed by the people and people's demand. In brief, people's vote called for changing the existing situation that includes the economic situation, the inflation that exceeds 44%, and the growth of the 680% liquidity growth rate in these years, and the government's debt has been tripled since 1394 Iranian calendar, and the numerous problems that have affected people's livelihood, and also seeking a remedy to the budget deficit of 450,000 billion. So people's livelihood is not appropriate, and that's been due to the enemy's hostilities and also the shortcomings that we had domestically. So these issues have to undergo a change, and the problem of unemployment, housing, and so on. These are the things that people complain about, and in addition to the problems caused with respect to people's livelihood, I should also refer to the fact that people's trust has been harmed. So this administration has to compensate for that and create trust and reduce the rift between the people at the and the administration. And this, and of course, there should be a relationship between the people and the administration, and this will resist the hostilities by the enemies. What the people demand from the new administration is a new development, and such a development is inevitable for this country, and this must happen. And the government's plan is a plan for development, and that includes focuses on the valuable document related to the second phase of the revolution. That will be a document for the measures to be carried out by the administration, and this has been written in a wise manner by the leader. The status quo has been delineated, and a favorable condition has also been depicted, and we should actually take steps in order to reach that point of a favorable situation. And we should reach the point that is expected by the people. That means realization of the goals delineated by the second phase of the revolution. So this is a necessary development. It is necessary in order to have all those who are concerned, the scholars, all the people, they should play their role, and they should play their role and participate in such a process. We will definitely seek to eliminate and lift the tyrannical sanctions. We will not make the people's livelihood conditional. We will not tie all things to the foreigners. We will definitely pursue the matters that we have before us. There are immediate issues that we are facing today. We should pursue this, such as the issue of the budget deficit, the also the capital market, including the stock, the stability of the capital market, the stock exchange, and also the need for containing inflation, and also the issue of the coronavirus pandemic has become a source of concern for the people. The issue of water, electricity, and people's needs. I thank all the statesmen of the 12th administration, but there are so many things we have to handle, and we have a short-term and urgent plan in order to address 10 major issues, and we are facing this from today. These matters have been detected. I assured the people that the matters have been detected and the solutions have been delineated and we have benefited from the views of experts and scholars, and this will be urgently dealt with. But speaking of our four-year development plan, that will pave the way for the seventh plan in the country. So the four-year development plan that will be presented to experts and scholars, and we will benefit from the views of all the people, that will pave the way for the country's seventh development plan, God willing. We hope that in the course of this development plan, all those who are concerned, regardless of their political orientation or ethnicities, all the scholars and all those who are concerned, they should play their role. We believe in the slogan of "We Can." We believe in this motto. We believe that despite all the hurdles, there is a solution to all these problems, and there is a serious will for eliminating problems. Our dear nation, our dear youths, our efficient manpower will contribute to such a development. We hope that through the efforts of all scholars, hopefully we'll be able to make positive changes to the benefit of the people and the values of the Islamic revolution, something that is expected by the leader and the people and the esteemed families of martyrs. I also thank all the services provided so far, and hopefully we'll be able to take more steps forward. In conclusion, I pray to God. I tell God Almighty, you know that my presence on this, you are aware of my motivation to hold this position. I seek to render services to the people, to administer justice. But I'm honored and proud to hold this position to serve the people. Oh God, you know very well, and you are aware of our intention. Help us and provide us with your assistance. Oh God, all those who are holding responsibilities on this occasion of Qadir, and with the blessings of the verses from the Holy Quran, on this occasion, what the Prophet and Imam Ali taught the people on the day of Qadir, that is the features of the rulers and statesmen, the letter that was written by Imam Ali addressing Malik Ashtar, and that is can be considered as a treaty, a document. Mention has been made of the features of statesmanship. All those who are serving the people in the name of the Islamic Republic establishment. May they all benefit from such features. I swear to God to call upon the infallible Imams and the Imam of the time to grant us assistance and help us so that all the problems would be eliminated with the assistance of the Imam of the time.
Okay, you've just listened to a live speech by Iran's President-elect Ebrahim Raisi, who set out his economic plans for the next 4 years. President-elect Ebrahim Raisi also outlined his plans to boost Iran's economy. He said this is extremely important, and his plans to alleviate the economic problems faced by ordinary people. Okay, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, is about to make his speech. Endorsement of President-elect Raisi. Let's listen in.
از خداوند متعال متضرعانه مسئلت میکنیم که این سرآغاز را.
I humbly pray to God to make this start a blessed one for the nation and the country, particularly. Particularly with respect to the fact that these days belong to the Ahlul Bayt, the Prophet's household. A few days ago we had the Eid al-Qadir, and also we'll have the Day of Mubahala. And also the revelation of the verse from the Holy Quran, the Tathir verse, and these occasions belong to the Prophet and his household, and hopefully we'll receive their intercessions. And firstly, I have to thank God. We should all thank God Almighty for granting us with such a blessing and granting the nation with such a blessing. And they managed, the people managed to once again have this meaningful achievement that is their participation in the elections, which is indicative of religious popular rule. And this goal was successfully attained. We have to thank the people, and we should also thank the 12th administration and the 12th president and his colleagues. And we should ask God to grant his assistance to Dr. Raisi and his administration. The endorsement ceremony is based upon the constitution and also a tradition that was founded by the late Imam. So this has been repeated in the past few decades, and this is a manifestation of the transition of the responsibility of the executive branch, that is actually the management of the country, and its transition in a rational and sound manner. And this is an issue of importance. In many countries, such a transition takes place through conflicts. But here, such a transition is made in a calm atmosphere, in a secure manner. And this has been done in the previous rounds, and it was also true this round with the grace of God. This is indicative of calmness and general calmness and rationality governing this country, and also is indicative of political diversity. The administrations that have come to power, they enjoyed various political orientations, and this is indicative of diversity, and such a political diversity is indicative of the free and sound feature and characteristic of the elections. These are very important matters, and one should take these points into consideration. Thank God the election was held in a secure and sound manner. I thank the organizers in various sectors and all those who maintained the security of the elections, and that's been an important issue. And particularly, I wish to thank the people for their participation. There was the conspiracy for boycotting the elections, and that conspiracy was actually hatched some time ago, and that was hatched by the enemy circles. Inside the country, there were some who, in a biased manner or due to negligence, pursued such a policy, and the people responded decisively, and there was a good participation by the people, bearing in mind the existing circumstances. And this indicated the people's participation on the scene, and we thank God and thank the people. This transition of power creates hope, because new figures enter the scene with new initiatives. There are new we see new faces, and also new people enter the scene with determination. So all those who have motivation for rendering services to the people, that creates hope, particularly amongst the youths. This is also a significant matter. Those who are scholars and experts, they are provided with the chance of detecting the shortcomings in the past and make new recommendations. In the remarks made by President Raisi, and also in the course of the presidential campaign, there was a focus on the Islamic Revolution values, such as administration of justice and combating corruption. That was a point emphasized by the new president. This is the right path, and this has been emphasized on several occasions to pursue this path, and he emphasized this in his remarks. This is a path that will contribute to the country's progress and restore people's rights, and that is resorting to the basic values of the revolution. These values are not something unknown or ambiguous. If you take a look at the remarks by the late imam, the imam has explicitly mentioned these values. These must be considered as the criteria. And also, to have the follow-up, to follow up these goals, that will encourage the people to also play their role. And this is the key issue, that is people's that means people's participation will contribute to the resolution of problems. Whatever encourages the people to have participation, to address the country's matters, this is something worthy, and you cannot replace such a participation with anything else. And that's been the main art displayed by the revolution, that is to have the republic aspect to actually to turn the passive population into a highly motivated and a determined one that pursues a goal and pursues ideals. That's been a major revolutionary measure. Prior to the revolution, we have breathed and lived prior to the revolution. The nation was disunited. Every person just thought about himself, and there was no national goal. There was no public issue. A few persons may make some words, but you see that the late imam, through his spiritual move, managed to create unity amongst the nation. And this was a major historical move, that is, the eradication of the despotic monarchic ruling system. Whatever that can turn the nation into a motivated population and make the people enter the scene, that is a worthy action. That is to move based on the values and ideals of the revolution. I have a recommendation to the president. He mentioned in his mottos, he referred to the issue of listening to the people. This must be taken into account. He called for the formation of a popular government. This must be realized in its true sense. And by people, we mean all the people. We should be alongside the people. There should not be any particular privileges. And he has this in his past record. Of course, to be present amongst the people must not make you forget about the need to have relationship with the elites. It's important to have connections with the elites, and there's a need for sharing thoughts with the elites. The government must be a manifestation of unity. There may be differences of views amongst the people. There should be an approach based on unity, and there should be an affectionate approach towards the people. And in this way, certain illusions must be eliminated. Such differences may not be fully eliminated, but such differences must be prevented from affecting the process. There should be honest dialogue with the people. That will be helpful for the popular. That will be helpful to the popular government. One should hold dialogue with the people based on honesty. Regardless of political tendencies, one should tell the people about the problems in an honest manner, and they should be informed about the solutions. And necessary assistance must be provided to the people. So it's important to speak with the people, to talk with the people. Another recommendation is focusing on the capacities. You see the statements that are made recently. There's talk of problems and shortages. There are many problems and shortages, but the capacities are more than these shortages. There are ample capacities in the country. Speaking of oil, water, mines, and the vast domestic market, the neighbors, talents, and the preparedness of the youths. These are extraordinary capacities. These are our capacities. Undoubtedly, such capacities can overcome the problems, provided that these capacities are appropriately detected and used. There's a need for round-the-clock efforts. And making use of these capacities will overcome the existing shortages. Another aspect of a popular government is combating corruption. If we want to truly remain alongside the people, we should counter corruption and corrupt individuals. In his previous position, he started the campaign against corruption, and good measures were taken, but the main issue is that the grounds for corruption take shape within the executive branch, and this is the point where one should combat corruption. The tax evasion, monopolies, misusing preferential foreign currency, and smuggling, and so on. These are the cases of corruption that one must counter decisively based on planning. Our experiences in the past years indicate that one starts a process with motivation and determination, but in the second step, you do not have that much motivation. That is useless. In other words, when you have the motivation for starting a process, that must continue till the point of attaining the outcome. That's true about combating corruption. Another important point, that is my recommendation, is that with respect to the country's economy, that is a basic issue today, one should act based on planning. Whatever you do must be part of a plan that has been previously designed. Unpredictable measures without planning cannot eliminate problems. In certain cases, it may be necessary to have some unpredictable actions. That is a separate matter, but generally speaking, any economic measure must be based on a general planning that has been designed. And in fact, part of that plan must be implemented. Of course, it takes time to resolve economic problems, and the people know this and must know this. It's not something to be dealt with overnight. It takes time. And you should just overcome these problems in the shortest time possible. Hopefully, with the divine guidance and the assistance of the Imam of the time, hopefully, we'll be able to proceed in the field of culture, foreign policy, and other matters. There are certain recommendations, but it's better to conclude at this point, and if I was alive, I will put forth these recommendations in the future. So there should be swift actions for forming the administration due to the existing. They should not be delayed due to the existing circumstances in the country. And the president must act swiftly in introducing his ministers to the parliament, and also the parliament must take swift action for approving the ministers, and they should act swiftly in order to act in an accelerated way so that the government would be formed as soon as possible and start its operation. The last point is the enemy's propaganda war, and more than security and economic actions, the enemies are after propaganda, ballyhoo, and media propaganda. The enemies want to dominate the public opinion, and the enemies are making a great deal of spending, and they are doing a lot of things, and they are making a great deal of efforts in order to launch psychological warfare to dominate other countries' public opinion, particularly the public opinion of our country. They want to dominate the public opinion, and when the public opinion is dominated by a foreigner, the moves by the nation will take place in line with the enemy's wishes. We do have some shortcomings, some weaknesses with respect to propaganda, but that is publicity and public awareness. And regardless of those who even benefit from domestic media, so we should act in a stronger manner, in a more smart manner with respect to media activities. May God grant us assistance so that the new administration, the officials, the new president and his colleagues, hopefully they'll be able to take up the necessary measures to the benefit of the people, and may God assist us and provide us with guidance. And all should help all the scholars, experts, thinkers. Hopefully that would contribute to further progress. Salutations to the Imam of the time, and salutations to the soul of the late Imam and the souls of the martyrs who opened this path before us, and we had the honor to tread this path.
Okay, you're listening there to the inauguration of a...
Right, so you've just listened to a live speech by the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, endorsing Iran's president-elect, Ebrahim Raisi. The leader said, "We hope that the new government will be successful in administering the country." He thanked the Iranian people for participating in the 18th of June presidential election, and he said the conspiracy to boycott the election largely failed. He also thanked the outgoing 12th president, Hassan Rouhani, and all the outgoing ministers for all of their efforts in these past years. He also congratulated President-elect Ebrahim Raisi and said, "It is important that the Iranian parliament would confirm all the incoming ministers, the new cabinet, the new government headed by Ebrahim Raisi." He urged the parliament to speed up the confirmation hearings. The leader said, "A change in government has taken place in calm and in a lawful manner, something which we can all be thankful for." He said, "A change in government creates hope for ordinary people, particularly for young people." And he said the right course of action for the new president is to decisively and seriously fight corruption, as promised in his presidential campaign. The leader also said that Iran's capacities and resources are much more than its problems. They outweigh its problems. Iran's capacities and resources outweigh its problems. The leader said, as head of the judiciary, Ebrahim Raisi fought very seriously, very decisively for corruption, and he urged the incoming president, the president-elect, to continue fighting corruption as president of the country. And the leader also said, "We must assist the people. The government should have an honest dialogue with ordinary people and must assist people with their everyday day to try to alleviate, try to remove the everyday problems which ordinary people face." This has been a live coverage of the endorsement ceremony for Iran's president-elect, Ebrahim Raisi. We now go back to our regular programming.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio. please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
In the limelight.
A steady trickle of new information from a Senate probe in Brazil is showing how vaccine shortages are linked to corruption, says Andrew Fishman, reporter, in an article titled Worst of Brazil, COVID-19 Vaccine Corruption Implicates Top Bolsonaro Allies. Stay tuned for more. Brazil's failure to contain the COVID-19 pandemic and promptly purchase vaccines has largely been attributed to ideology, the economic, libertarianism, and anti-science stances of far-right President Jair Bolsonaro. As a steady stream of revelations of multi-million dollar kickback schemes in vaccine purchases emerges, however, another possible motive is emerging: maximizing profits. There is a direct relationship between denialism, corruption, and the way the pandemic has become the country's greatest health tragedy and the greatest story of corruption, Representative Paulo Pimenta, an opposition politician, told The Intercept. Two separate but intertwined cases with a strong evidence of fraud have become the focus of a Senate investigation into the government's mishandling of the pandemic. The cases implicate members of Bolsonaro's administration, his key allies in Congress, and senior members of the military appointed to top roles in the health ministry. In both instances, health ministry officials attempt to buy vaccines through intermediaries rather than directly from producers, which are less likely to partake in brazenly crooked deals. Bolsonaro reportedly failed to intervene when alerted to irregularities in the government's negotiations to acquire 20 million doses of the vaccines produced by biotech at above-market rates. In a sworn Senate testimony, the whistleblower claimed that the president said it's another scam by this Ricardo Barros, referring to an ally who is a leader in the lower house of Congress and a former health minister who serves as a prominent member of a powerful and notoriously corrupt centrist bloc. Bolsonaro, who rose to prominence on an anti-corruption platform, has not refuted the accusations. What's more, the president's son, Senator Flavio Bolsonaro, has close ties to the owner of the intermediary firm at the center of the scandal, Precisa Medicamentos. In the second case, the health ministry's former head of logistics, Roberto Dias, allegedly requested a $1 kickback on each dose from a supplier, U.S.-based Davati Medical Supply, which claimed that it could provide 400 million vaccine shots. Davati, it turned out, was not actually a representative of the vaccine company and had no way of delivering on the deal, yet somehow was able to negotiate with top officials. Meanwhile, revelations continue to trickle out of the Senate Commission, which convened in late April and will resume hearings on August 3rd after a two-week recess. As a presidential candidate in 2018, Bolsonaro ran against a large, powerful bloc of political parties representing the country's oligarch, known widely as Central. He slammed them as corrupt and the worst of Brazil. At Bolsonaro's campaign lunch, a close advisor told the crowd that Central is the embodiment of impunity. Yet as evidence of impropriety mounts and public opinion tilts sharply against Bolsonaro, the president is deepening his alliance with Central, handing over more power in an apparent strategy to secure some impunity of his own. Recently, Senator Ciro Nogueira accepted Bolsonaro's offer to become his chief of staff, a key cabinet-level position reserved for trusted allies. Nogueira is a Central leader and has been directly implicated in coronavirus-related corruption. He is also under investigation in five other criminal cases. He was the president's main defender in the Senate Commission, where he will be replaced by Flavio Bolsonaro. By handing over the keys to the presidential palace, Bolsonaro will appease the Speaker of the Lower House of Congress, Arthur Lira, who is from Nogueira's party and is the only person in Brazil who can initiate or block impeachment proceedings over the tragic mishandling of the pandemic. More than 550,000 Brazilians have died of COVID-19, the second highest death toll in the world. Since last March, public health experts and political observers around the world gnashed their teeth at Bolsonaro time and again, downplayed the seriousness of the disease, and encouraged Brazilians to live their lives as usual, without masks. A comprehensive study by researchers at the University of Sao Paulo concluded that the president intentionally and systematically acted to spread the virus. Tatiana Roque, coordinator of the Science and Culture Forum at the Federal University of Rio de Janeiro, told The Intercept that the Bolsonaro administration pursued an anti-scientific, denialist, eugenist, an individualistic response to the pandemic due to deeply held ideological commitments. Every tool to effectively combat the pandemic requires greater regulation and a greater presence of the state, she said. These collective measures, according to Roque, go against the founding ideology of this extreme right, which is its libertarianism. Pimenta, the member of the Congress from former President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva's opposition Workers' Party, said that corruption is at the heart of the pandemic response and that Bolsonaro is responsible. Anyone who knows Bolsonaro, the Bolsonaro family, knows that no corruption scheme occurs within the government without the direct participation of the family, Pimenta said. He is the head of the criminal scheme, him and his sons, he added. According to Pimenta, the intentional spread of the virus was part of a strategy to facilitate bribes on contracts for vaccines and emergency medical supplies. It's perverse because you need the country to have many deaths to justify to the public opinion that you're going to pay more than the market price, in theory, to prevent those deaths from continuing to occur. Even though it was you who caused the death, it's Klafesk, said Pimenta, adding, the pandemic was a window of opportunity for them because the pandemic ended the need for bidding What's better for a guy who deals in corruption than being able to buy everything as an emergency purchase without bidding? Senator Humberto Acosta, also of the Workers' Party and a member of the Senate Commission, told Intercept that ideology and the desire to not close down the economy motivated the pandemic response. The corruption was incidental. The administration knew that there was no way to continue stalling the purchase of vaccines, but they saw that the amount of money being spent was very large, and then they went after some possibilities that could result in bribes, said Costa. Rodriguez, vice president of the Senate Commission, said the inquiry has implicated the creme de la creme of Bolsonaro base in corruption cases, including many people with relationships with Senator Flavio Bolsonaro. The investigation is also looking at more than $159 million in suspicious deals between the logistics firm VTCLOG and the health ministry beginning in 2016. The contracts began prior to the pandemic and the Bolsonaro administration, but are still active and involve his key allies, including Nogueira, Lira, Flavio Bolsonaro, and Beres. Flavio, who was charged last year over a suspected embezzlement scheme involving mafia figures, rankled even close supporters in March when he purchased a luxurious mansion in Brasilia worth over $1 million, a home that would be unattainable based on his official income. Rodriguez said he expects to uncover more corruption before the inquiry is finished and that the investigation has already had a substantial impact on coronavirus policy. The investigation changed Brazil's agenda, he said. The country's agenda is no longer dictated by Jair Bolsonaro's nonsense. The result of the Brazilian government's failure to combat the pandemic is a story of shortages and despair. One in three Brazilian state capitals have suspended first dose vaccinations due to supply shortages. With 18% of its population fully vaccinated, Brazil lags behind regional neighbors such as Uruguay and Chile, which has some of the highest rates in the world, as well as the Dominican Republic, Cuba, and Colombia. In Rio de Janeiro, for example, eligibility only extends to those age 34 and older, in addition to adults of any age with comorbidities. New infection rates remain high, but are down from near record numbers in June. A recent poll suggested that only 5% of Brazilians do not intend to get vaccinated once they are eligible, despite a year-long deluge of anti-vaccine messaging from Bolsonaro and his allies. Meanwhile, the human cost of the pandemic continues to pile up. As of April, COVID-19 created over 130,000 orphans in Brazil. And with the economy lagging, 9 million more Brazilians joined the ranks of malnourished and hungry during the pandemic.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود غده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.